the songs fit very well with what we want to consider this morning. As we think about the things that are contained for us in the pages of New Testament Scripture, we hope that we are gathered with a purpose in mind of serving and honoring God and learning from the Word that He has delivered to us so that we might be better able to serve Him and honor Him. This morning we want to talk about the fact that salvation is in Christ. The text that I asked Brother Bill to read for us this morning was initially chosen for the purpose of reading verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But as I was reading and studying through and considering this passage and our use of it this morning, well, actually when I was reading this evening, or yesterday evening, and preparing for all this, I read from the Amplified Version, verse 1. And the rendering of, ye believe in God, believe also in me, in the Amplified Version emphasizes something I think we sometimes overlook in regards to that believe in. And I think it fits very well with what we're going to be talking about this morning. In the Amplified Version, verse 1 reads, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. Ye believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. Now, we could go and turn to various passages that would emphasize to us that that idea of believing in involved both adhering to and trust in and as well relying upon. But by looking at it in this particular version that expands on the Greek idea of the word that's translated believe, it emphasizes that to us here. We turn to this passage oftentimes to talk about how there is a heaven that awaits for us. This passage also reminds us that there's only one way to get to that heaven. And that if we believe in God, if we want to get to heaven, if we want to enjoy salvation, we're only going to find it in Christ. And we want to consider those things this morning. First of all, we want to recognize that Jesus Christ came to the world for the purpose of providing us salvation. That was the plan from the beginning. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesian brethren, talks about the eternal nature of God's plan. And we can go back to the book of Genesis and we can read there the statements that are made to Adam and Eve and then made again to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob in various ones. And we've looked at those in the past that emphasize that Christ was the plan. When he was foretold in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, they were told he will save his people from their sins. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I meant to say this at the beginning. We're going to have a lot of scriptures this morning. I don't have any of them on the screen. I've decided not to do that, but there will be a version of this outline available on the website sometime in the next week. If you want it before then, I'll give you this copy or make you another copy. Sometimes the screen distracts instead of helps. But the passages that we look at this morning should emphasize to us that Christ saves us. And that was his initial purpose. Even Caiaphas, whether he realized what he was doing or not, as high priest in John chapter 11, that year he was high priest, and he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Remember, we talked about Jesus as a shepherd, and he says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. Talking about the Gentiles. He wasn't sent just to save his people from their sins, but to save all mankind from their sins. Christ was sent here for the purpose of becoming a source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. His purpose was to save us. It's the only reason he came. Not to give us some guidelines about how we could get along with one another. Not to be some great guy with some wonderful thoughts. But to save us from ourselves. And it is through his blood that we are saved. Christ, when he left heaven, knew that in order for him to save us, he was going to have to shed blood. We'll study a little more about that and talk a little more about that as we go through the book of Hebrews over the coming months. But when Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said, care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. In the Hebrew letter chapter 13 and verse 12, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. A clear reference to his death on the cross of Calvary outside the gate of Jerusalem. Sanctifying the people through his blood. You were saved. You were redeemed, Peter tells us, with the precious blood of Christ. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, in him we have redemption through his blood. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26, we read, for this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Further in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, the Apostle John tells us. And he came for the purpose to reconcile to himself all things, Paul told the Colossian brethren, making peace by the blood of his cross. His purpose was to bring salvation, and he brought that salvation through his own blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14. Hebrews 9. Verse 12 through 14. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's one of those comparisons that we'll be seeing in the book of Hebrews as we study that book on Sunday mornings. If the blood of bulls and goats was sufficient to satisfy the physical cleansing of a defiled person, go read back in the book of Leviticus and Numbers about the various sacrifices that were to be made in order for a person to be considered clean when they had made themselves unclean. Then how much more will the sacrifice of the blood of the pure, innocent Son of God be sufficient to purify us from dead works and allow us to serve God? His blood makes the difference. And it is the only way. As Brother Bill read for us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 10 and verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But Christ is the shepherd who enters through the door. He is the only means by which we can come to God. He came for that purpose, to deliver salvation for us. And throughout the New Testament scriptures, we are informed and reminded that Christ is our salvation. Paul told Timothy, obtain the salvation that is in Christ. He broke to the Roman brethren, justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Over and over, the Scripture emphasizes that it is in Christ that we find redemption, that we find salvation. It is in His body Again, the Roman letter chapter 12 and verse 5, so we, though being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And to enforce that statement, look over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. What are we talking about when we're talking about His body, wherein we are saved? It's the church that He's the head of. He's the Savior of it. He's the one who shed the blood so that those who would submit themselves to the will of God might have salvation. Believe, adhere, trust, and rely on Christ if we want to be saved. It is through Christ that we can attain our victory. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation to be ready to be revealed in the last time. Or as Paul rendered it to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of Him everywhere. I read that phrase triumphal procession or the various different ways it's rendered in the different translations, and I think of the song, We're Marching to Zion. We're in a procession of victory, marching to the capital of the kingdom, God's place. Why? Because we're in Christ. He is our victory. He leads us in that triumphal procession. It is through Christ that we have access to God. Their minds were hardened, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, for to this day when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Now, certainly when we read that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, we have images or thoughts in our mind regarding the veil of the temple that was torn in two when Christ died on the cross. The sacrifice of Christ's precious blood was sufficient to destroy that separating veil. But I think also we need to keep in mind when Paul says it is only through Christ that that veil is taken away, he's talking about understanding who God is and what God's all about and understanding about salvation in its completeness. And that only comes through the revelation that Jesus Christ left for us. As He promised His apostles that they would be reminded of all the things that He had taught them and would also receive all the other things that they needed to know when the Spirit came upon them. And folks, they wrote those things down for us. The Spirit inspired them to record those things in such a manner that we can have them today. And what we have today is how we can know God. We can access God through Christ, the Word. As John says, became flesh and dwelt among us. Our access to God is through Christ. It is through Christ that we can have transformation. We can be changed. We are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Verse 19 of that same chapter, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Paul has 2 points he makes there. The second point being that we're the ones that spread this word of reconciliation. But the first being that reconciliation, that redeeming, that ability to come before God, that cleansing that changes us and transforms us into a son of God, is in Christ. It's in Christ that those changes are made. We could go over and look in the Colossian letter, as we've studied in the past, that emphasize how we are to no longer be the old person, but we are to be a new creature. We're to stop lying and tell the truth. We're to stop hurting and start helping. We're to stop speaking against and start speaking for. We're to stop hating and we're to start loving. Those changes all come about in Christ. If you then have been raised with Christ, then set your mind on things which are above. A little bit of a paraphrase there. We're changed in Christ. Transformed. What is it Paul told the Roman brethren? Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? Through Christ. That's how we're transformed. That's how we're changed. Peter said, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Certainly, the transformation that Peter talks about there is noticeable in that coming from darkness into light. But notice, we're no longer a collection of random people. We are a chosen race. We're no longer just a few people that honor and praise God. We're a royal priesthood. We're not just individuals that think God is a good thing or want to go and be with God. We're a holy nation. A nation that's been set apart. Changed. How? By Christ. And as Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, our blessings come in Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Or as Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, God, having raised up His servant Christ, sent Him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Our blessings are in Christ. Any good thing that you want to think about? Any truly good thing for mankind? Is in Christ. You want to have peaceful days? Be with me, Lord. You want to overcome trials and tribulations? Be with me, Lord. See, I told you. You want to be able to see where you're going? Then walk in the light that is the Son of God. It's all in Christ. Without Him, we are absolutely nothing. So, how do we know we're in Christ? Because if I stopped right there, Brother Bill would say, when are you going to finish that lesson? Now, how do you know you're in Christ? It's not enough to tell us that all things that we need are found in Christ, that salvation is in Christ. How do we achieve that? Well, if we were to listen to the ideas of men, which I think we've already at least indicated we ought not be paying so much attention to, but men are divided over how to get in Christ. Pray. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just believe. And we've already looked at, as the Amplified Version renders that, believe, and carries it with it a whole lot more than just say, I believe. Adhere to, trust in, rely on. Some say you can just be in Christ because God decided you were going to be in Christ. You don't have to do anything. Others, at least by the way they conduct themselves, seem to indicate that once you get in Christ, it doesn't really matter what you do or how you live. Just as long as you still say, I believe in Christ. But the Scripture tells us that the wicked ought to forsake his way, and the unrighteous man ought to forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. From the very beginning of time, God has said, if you want to be with me, you've got to turn to my way. You've got to follow my path. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Where I go, you know, and the way, you know. We know Christ. We get into Christ by submitting ourselves wholly over to Christ. The Roman brethren were told that they had been justified by faith and therefore they could have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Such were some of you, the Corinthian brethren were told, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The sacrifice of the blood of Christ through our faith and trust and belief in Him is what puts us in Christ. Romans 3, verse 25, beginning, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What does it mean to have faith? Well, we won't go and read all of Hebrews chapter 11. But if you've been here on Wednesday nights over the last several months, you've heard what it means to have faith. Brother John has talked about those men of faith and women of faith that are talked about there. When we go over and look at Hebrews chapter 11, it becomes very clear that faith is more than just some special feeling we have in our heart. It's more than just a willingness to say, I believe. It's a willingness to take action. Abel offered. Noah built. Israel marched. Moses fled. Abraham obeyed what God said. In some of my notes, I've got an outline from Dad. Where is salvation found? In that outline, he goes back and looks at the story of Noah. And how, while Noah was saved by faith, the Hebrew writer tells us he was saved by faith. It was faith in God and trust in God. And Peter tells us that it was saved by the baptism of the flood. He was separated from the wickedness of the old world through the flood. But none of that would have done him any good whatsoever if he hadn't built a boat to God's specifications. Take note of that. Exactly like God told him to. Israel was saved. How? Through their worship in the tabernacle. Because they built the tabernacle and the priesthood and all of the things involved with it exactly as God told them to on the mount. Naaman was saved because Elisha came out and waved his hand over him and said, no. Because he did. You see, salvation is in Christ, but it's entirely dependent upon us doing the will of God. By faith is on the equal with obedience. Remember? Adhere, trust, rely, believe, all that's involved. And you believe in God. By grace you've been saved through faith, we read in the Ephesian letter. But we also read in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Their faith caused them to take action. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, we read, made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. And then Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, having purified your souls with your obedience to the truth. For a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. They've cleansed their hearts by faith, but their souls were purified by obedience. No, that's the same action. faith and works. As James says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Faith demonstrated by our works. It's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. Salvation is found in Christ, but only through our active obedience. And certainly, we spend a lot of time talking about initial obedience to get into Christ. But the Scripture is full of passages that emphasize to us that we have to continue in that obedience. We made mention of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 just a moment ago. Paul wasn't talking to those that weren't Christians. He was talking to those who had already obeyed. Those who were brethren, whether Jew or Gentile. And he says, don't be caught up and conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How do we renew our mind? We read and study from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, without faith it is impossible to believe Him. For the one that would come to God has to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And while we recognize that seek Him part, let's don't forget it says diligently seek Him. With a purpose. With fervor. With desire. Like we're trying to pull ourselves out of quicksand by pulling ourselves up a rope. Like we're trying to get out of a hole by climbing up a ladder. Working at it. Because if we don't stay in Christ, there is no salvation. You have rejected Christ. Paul told some who had turned back to the old law. You've fallen from grace. Because they didn't remain in Christ. We need to make sure that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are emphasizing the need to stay in Christ as much as the need to be in Christ. Every letter that we have read from thus far was written to those who are in Christ and was given as encouragement and strengthening force so that they could remain in Christ. Yes, there are lessons there that teach us what we ought to teach others about coming into Christ and show us how we became different and how we were to be transformed by submitting to the will of God. But Jesus in John 14 was speaking to His apostles, not to the lost of the Jewish nation. He was speaking to those that believed in Him. And He was reminding them that the only way to find God was to stay with Him. The only pathway that leads to eternal salvation is Jesus Christ. Through His blood, yes. But through obedience to His will. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has made heir of all things, who sits on the right hand of God on the throne, by whom He made all things, and by whom all things consist. It is through Christ that we will be saved. Not everyone, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That doesn't just mean that only those that submit to the exact requirements of the law of God will be able to enter into Christ. But it means that even those who enter into Christ must continue to submit themselves to the will of Christ if they want to be in heaven with God. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The law of the Lord tells us, as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I wonder if Peter remembered those words as he wrote this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a place prepared and ready for us to be with God for all eternity. But it is entirely dependent upon us being in Christ when our time on this earth comes to an end. Ladies and gentlemen, while we may have stories of destructive asteroids or nuclear wars that might destroy this world, when we emphasize that Christ is going to return, and we need to be ready for His return, let's not forget, we may not last that long. Every one of us has a time when our life on this earth will end. For whatever reason, when it ends, we better be in Christ. The only way to be in Christ is to be following Christ, to live according to His Word, to listen to the message that He's delivered to us, and use it to guide our actions each and every day, to be holy to Him. The question for each of us this morning, so the question is, will you come to Christ? Will you submit yourself to His will? Be obedient to the word that He's delivered. Take advantage of the sacrifice of His body and blood on the cross of Calvary so that you might live with Him through burial and baptism and rising in the image of His resurrection. For most of us, the question is, will I remain? Am I still in Christ? Am I still faithfully doing the things that God has asked me to do? Am I living in accordance with His law? Or have I given in to some of my own desires and hopes? Have I listened to some of the things of the world around me and decided they have a pretty good idea? And this serving God is getting through a little hard. Submit yourself to God. Confess your belief in Him and your dependence upon Him. Adhere to, believe in, trust in, and rely on God. After you do that, believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on Christ. For He is our pathway to God. If you look this morning and find that you're subject to an invitation, we encourage you to come. Let your desire be known. Extend and sing.